Prayer can be a bit of a mystery at times. It really can. And I can honestly stand up here and tell you today that I don't understand everything about prayer. I don't. I can show you scripture after scripture after scripture, but when it gets right down to it, there's some parts of it I just don't really understand. And I probably won't understand it until I'm in heaven in the presence of Jesus, and somehow I'll miraculously know, or maybe I won't even care then because I'm right at the feet of Jesus. I still have questions. I still have questions about prayer. And I'm going to look at a couple of those questions this morning. For some of you here, you may not question things. My Grandma Olson, my grandma used to have a saying, Bible says it, I believe it, and that's the end of it. There's no discussion. There's no argument. There's no questions. And some of you this morning may have that attitude, and God bless you. Too often, sometimes we may look at questions and ask questions that lead us away from God rather than closer to Him. And this morning, I am going to look at a couple questions that I know that I've heard others ask, and I know that others may struggle with them. The last week we looked at the Lord's Prayer. And one part of the Lord's Prayer was basically asking God, let your will be done. In turn, I talked about Jesus and his prayer in on the night he was betrayed, asking God to take that cup from him, to take that suffering. He knew what was about to happen. He asked God to take it, but then the end of the prayer is, God, not my will, but yours. It's a difficult prayer, asking God that his will be done and not mine. So, can it be through my prayer? Can it be through my petition or my request, my heartfelt desire? Can it be that possibly I may have some influence on God's will? In other words, if God's will has already been decided, will my prayer matter? If God's already made up his proverbial mind, will my prayer really make a difference? It's a struggle. I know to pray, God, let your will be done. But if I don't know what his will is, or if I do know he's going in a different direction, will my prayer really matter? Another struggle for me, another question that I have is that if God already knows what I need, why pray? If you don't struggle with those questions this morning, if you don't struggle with that, I give you permission to go ahead and sleep. You may never hear me say those words again, so if you don't struggle with that, you're okay. You can tune out for a moment. So let's look at God's will. Let's look at the will of God. I know in VBS this last summer, those kids that were in VBS, Juanita and I had taught a little session, or I can't remember what it was, but we talked about the attributes of God, and one of those attributes of God is that God is never changing. He's always the same. He never changes. What happens when God's will is set? When God's will is set, is there any changing? If God does not change, why pray for something else? Now, when I say God's will, I'm talking about both God's will that something happen, and that God's will is to not intervene. both God's will may be both an action or an inaction. So that's when I'm talking about God's will, it could be either or. Why pray? Matthew 6, the second half of verse 8 in Matthew 6. I guess I don't have that in there. I'll just read it. Matthew 6, second half of verse 8. If your father knows what you need before you ask him, if he already knows what I need before I ask him, why pray? I mean, if God knows everything, past, present, future, and he never changes, his mind is made up, why pray? That's the title of my message today. Why? I'll try to bring some clarification to this, maybe. Some clarification to these tough questions. But I can't just start out with the answer with them. I can't just start there. Because we're still missing a piece of, last week I called it a prayer pie. We've seen a couple slices so far. I've been missing one slice of that prayer pie, which I will have to start with first before I can get to these questions. Jesus was a tremendous example for us. Countless times we read in Scripture, read about Jesus praying. We're told many times, again, you've heard this many times from me, that Jesus had gone to secluded places and he prayed to God, his Father. We're often left out not knowing exactly what those prayers sounded like. We're given examples. We're given many examples. Please don't hear that I'm not saying that. But Jesus had a lot of time where he was not with anyone there to witness what his prayers were about. Years and years of a regular rhythm of prayer. It'd be nice to know what his prayers would have sounded like when he wasn't facing death, when he wasn't near the end of his time on earth, when he wasn't making an important decision. What did he pray about? What did he talk to God about? What words did Jesus use? Now, the bigger picture, though, that's being missed, the bigger picture is that there's a constant dialogue between Jesus and God. There is a dialogue between Jesus and God. In prayers, the was the bridge that helped maintain the relationship. And you know, I had a really good friend in high school. We took classes together, and we even worked at the same job after school together. We did things together. We were around each other often. And then after he graduated from high school, he got married and joined the military. He moved away. We didn't see each other much after he left. And we rarely spoke, too. Now, because of Facebook, I kind of know what significant things have gone on in his life. But we've not had a conversation. We've not interacted with each other since high school. So my best friend in high school really no longer my best friend today. He was a good friend, but that relationship isn't there anymore because we're missing the communication in the interaction with each other. Now, it's not wrong. Friendships and relationships, they fluctuate. That's just a part of life. But the point is that without a communication, without that interaction, there just really isn't a relationship there. We no longer have that friendship. Now we can call each other or talk to each other and that would be fine, but we were good friends back in high school. Past tense. What does that have to do with the message here? You see, Jesus didn't use prayer just to ask the Father for something. Prayer for Jesus was the relationship lifeline between him and God. And I already said, Jesus, with prayer, it was a dialogue between God and Jesus. Was there anything going on here on earth with Jesus that God did not already know about? Was there anything going on that God didn't already know about? No. Yet Jesus communicated and interacted with God in prayer daily. So the part that we're missing in the prayer pie that we haven't talked about is that prayer is so much more than just bringing a need to God or asking for something. It is the communication and the relationship lifeline with God. I was thinking when I was preparing this, what if, now when I used to be a deputy, we'd have to transcribe interviews and things like that, where a tape-recorded interview would be typed out, and you actually read through the things that you said in an interview, and you just go, why did I say that? It just doesn't look that great on paper. Think about, what if our prayers were transcribed out on paper, and you could read through what your prayers have been for the year or for your lifetime? What would it look like? Would it be full of, God, I want, or God, I need, or God, I. Can we keep going? Would it simply be just a list of requests or a list of grumblings? Or would it look like a dialogue? Would it look like a conversation? Would it be a two-way conversation? Prayer is communication, it's relation. Yeah, it can be difficult to hear God at times. I'm right there with you. It can be hard to hear sometimes what God is saying. But in our prayer time, we need to find a balance. There's a time for us to speak, and there's a time for us to listen. And we're not going to hear God if we're the ones doing all the talking. We do need to leave room for that listening. Now, it's not my desire to condemn anyone here over prayer. Prayer is personal. I'm trying to point out some things that we need to work on, myself very much included. But prayer does look a little different for each individual, for a variety of people. But at the heart of it, it is one rhythm that we have that allows us to communicate and draw closer to God in relationship. Prayer is very important. Despite finding or looking at answers to difficult questions, prayer is not just a place to ask God for something. Prayer is a practice and a place where we actively respond and participate in our relationship with God. I know this is a long a long sentence, but just take a moment to think about it. It's something we do, and it's also a place that we're in, where we are active with God, a two-way street, responding, participating in our relationship. Prayer is important. Now, there's other things that are important in our relationship. Worshiping God in song and other things are important too. But prayer is very important because it is the communication line. So let's now move back to our questions that I was looking at. What about God's will? And I cannot help but look through several Old Testament stories and see that God is a relational, merciful, forgiving God. Most of us know the story of Jonah. I would hope that many of us know the story of Jonah. God said that he was going to destroy Nineveh in 40 days because of the wickedness of the city. Yet when the city fell to its knees and worshiped God and ceased its wickedness, did this destruction still come? Jonah 3:10. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Countless times we read about the Old Testament laws where God gave consequences to actions. If the people stayed true and obeyed God's law, they would be under his protection. They would be his people and he would be their God. Many of us know that because God, it's repeated many times. However, if they worshiped other idols and were disobedient, he would leave them to their own destruction. God would prefer the obedience. But what was God's will? His will was if they were obedient, they would be under his protection. If they were disobedient, his will was judgment. Sometimes God's will is clearly based on the choice of people. His desire was that relationship with them, with the people, but he gave them a freedom to choose. Freedom to choose righteousness or a freedom to choose sinfulness. Now, God's will may not be so black and white anymore. Can prayer really change God's will? It may be that prayer may change which will God chooses. Look at the Ninevites. They fell to their knees and they worshiped God. And I would have to say that they would pray asking for mercy. Another time, God was set to destroy the Israelites after they freeing them from Egypt because of their contempt toward him. During the time of Moses, as he's leading the Israelites, the people had contempt for God, even though he just saved them out of Egypt, out of this bondage and slavery. They held contempt for him. And God says, I'm going to wipe them out. And start over with you, Moses. Let's look at a prayer that Moses offered up. Exodus 32:13-14. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. He relented. He changed his mind. Now, wait a second. If God doesn't change, how can he change his mind? It's a prayer. That's a good question. Prayer changed the course of events in several examples. More than what I've showed here, going through the Old Testament, there's many examples. Our prayers may have a significant impact to the point that we don't fully understand how our prayers are heard, what God does with them. We know He hears them, but we may not really know the impact that they carry. There are times when we pray that God will respond with a no. And we may have to accept God's will when He says no. If we are maintaining a relationship in prayer, I talked about early, it's a dialogue, it's a conversation. If we are in that dialogue, in that conversation with God, and we do get an answer of no, we can also tell Him our frustration. Tell Him our feelings. Tell Him that we feel it may not be right. We can be honest without being contemptible. We can tell Him our disappointments when they come. But that's what happens in a relationship, a conversation. So when I look at my next question, I probably haven't answered that first one very well. But I can give you examples of when prayer made a difference in God's decisions. The second question I had, looking at if God already knows what I need, why pray? That verse actually comes out of Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to look at several verses around it. And the one I was supposed to have is supposed to be bold. Second half of verse 8, but it doesn't look very bold here. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way: Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And there's the Lord's Prayer we went through last week. I already talked about the very beginning of this passage here. Talks about making a show. We know that we're not to make a show. What I'm more interested in was that verse 8. For your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. First of all, this very verse is saying that God knows before you ask. He knows before you ask. Doesn't say He knows and gives without you asking. There still is an element that right here we're even told you do still need to ask. What I love about this particular verse is that it precedes Jesus' example in the Lord's Prayer. That is what we looked at last week. And so by Jesus' own teaching, He is saying that God knows what you need before you ask. And then He teaches us the example of how to pray and how to ask. We are still to pray. We are still to ask. The fact of the matter is, since God knows what you need before you even ask, you don't have to spend all this time explaining to God why you need something. If He already knows, You can just get right to the point. Let's look at a couple more verses. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Another verse, second part of verse 2 on James chapter 4. You do not have because you do not ask. We're clearly told that we need to ask. We need to petition God in prayer. God is our Heavenly Father, and He desires to give you what you need. And because we are praying with the right heart, we are making a dialogue, we're having a conversation with God through prayer, we're having that relationship. Because we're having all those things, we will be asking with the right heart and asking for the right things. And God will listen to our prayers. But it's not a free-for-all. There are frivolous prayers, and I'll tell you that. There are frivolous prayers. And James, if we go on James chapter 3 here, or James chapter 4, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Asking God to win the lottery, that's frivolous. He'll give you what you need. Asking God for an A on a test that you never studied for, that's frivolous. It's a consequence. You don't want to put in the time to study for your test, you're probably not going to do well. Going back to a little bit of my history, my former career, you'd have people that would go out and commit crimes, get caught, end up in jail, praying that God would get them out of jail, get a jail-free card or something like that. That's frivolous. Again, there are consequences. Consequences in life, and praying for things out of selfishness will really get you nowhere. But what about the requests that are not done out of selfish motives? What about a person that who's diagnosed with cancer, and this person prays for healing, and it never comes, and they die of cancer? What about a mother who just gives birth to a child that has a severe illness, and the mother is praying and praying and praying, earnestly praying that the child would be healed, and yet the child dies? What about those times? What about those times? And I'm not going to stand up in here and tell you I have all the answers. I don't know why God sometimes says no. I know He gives us three answers: yes, no, and not yet. I know those are three possible answers that God gives us when we pray. And we will struggle when we pray and pray and pray for help, and all we hear is silence or an answer of no. But we must fall back onto that relationship that we're building in our prayer time with God. We have to fall back into the communication with God. And it's too easy to blame God that you didn't answer me, you didn't heal me, or something. And it's easy to just turn away from Him. And I'll tell you, countless people have done it in the past. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and nothing happened. And I turned away from him. It's a story I've heard several times. We know that God loves us as a father. We know that he desires a relationship with us. We know that. We must have an attitude in our heart. That basic attitude that I taught last week. God, let your will be done. Why does he allow some things to happen when we pray against it? I don't know. It can be hard to have that, God, let your will be done. I'm praying for healing. It can be hard when we're facing tragedy. And we need to draw more. During those times, we need to draw more from God. Have more conversations with him in a prayer time. Don't blame him and turn away. We simply will not really know why God intervenes at times and why there are times that he does not. I know that he uses it sometimes to bring glory to himself. The Apostle Paul, he prayed for a removal of an ailment many times, and the answer was no. Even the Apostle Paul had to deal with things, physical ailments. In this world, we are vulnerable, we're even weak compared to God. And we've been given the ability to pray and grow our relationship with our loving and gracious Lord. We've been given this ability to do this. As I was reading through a book on prayer, a book written by Philip Yancey was the one I was looking at, a well-known author, and he gave a simple answer to the question, why pray? His simple answer was, because Jesus did. We may not know all the answers, we may not have an answer that's adequate for us, but we know Jesus prayed. He didn't just do it a little bit, he did it a lot. Why pray? Jesus prayed. It does close the gap between our fallen humanness and the most holy God. It brings us together. It's not a duty to pray. You can't think of prayer as just a duty. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And we are building and maintaining a relationship with our Creator when we communicate and interact with God in prayer. If we cease to do it, it'll be like my relationship with my former best friend or best friend from a long time ago. If we cease to pray and interact with God, communicate with God, what relationship are we going to have? Prayer builds it.